You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Monday as we get ready for Notre Dame week here on the show. Asher Lowe joined by Ben Kenny. This is the team at BadgersWire.com bringing you all things Wisconsin sports at USA Today Sports and, of course, the Daily Pod right here on Locked On Badgers. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Badgers, at ALOW underscore 33, and at Ben Z Kenny. For more updates on whenever we're dropping episodes and who we're having on in terms of special guests, all that stuff and more over on Twitter. Make sure you follow us on Spotify. Hit that subscribe button on Apple so you know whenever we post a Locked On Badgers episode. Monday morning, Notre Dame week.
Yeah, Asher, it is Notre Dame week. You started getting ready for it. It is. And I woke up on Sunday morning not thinking about the NFL, not thinking about all the other BS that's going on in sports. My mind is completely set. As soon as I saw that first promo on Fox, my mind is set on this game on Saturday. This is like one of those, it's not like a Christmas week when you're eight, but it's very similar. So you wake up on that Tuesday when Christmas is on a Sunday and you're just counting down the days knowing that Sunday morning is like that time. That's where I'm at.
It is that time. It is that time. And it's time to talk, Ben, about the Big Ten at large before we dive in to Notre Dame week. And the first thing we have to tackle surrounding Notre Dame week is the time the game is being played. Now, that post of yours on Twitter went off a little bit. You talking about the 11 a.m. kickoff Central Time, your thoughts on that 11 a.m. kickoff, which has now become, by the way, because of TV ratings, essentially the primetime slot for all Big Ten football games. That is now the morning slot and not your traditional 6, 7 p.m., whatever you have slot later in the day. That 11 a.m. Central, as I know it, 9 a.m. Pacific, slot is now the primetime slot. We're going to get into your thoughts on that time, the reactions on Twitter of people reacting to your post, and then I have completely opposite thoughts on that time for starting games at, and so we're going to get into that at the end of the show.
Should I read the tweet as a teaser, or should we just leave it all to the end?
Tease the tweet.
So it got announced today that Wisconsin will play Michigan again on Big Noon Saturday, which, remember, the last time that happened a couple years ago, Jack Cohn absolutely dusted a Michigan defensive end, juked him out of his shoes, ran for a touchdown. Wisconsin rolled over Michigan. I said, while meaningful games at Camp Randall are great, night games, those are, I still think Big Noon kickoff is my favorite time slot for Wisconsin to play.
And I couldn't disagree more.
And I can't wait to talk about it.
Can't wait to talk about it at the end of the show. But first, the week that was in the Big Ten Conference, or the weekend that was, I should say, in the Big Ten, I told you about Nebraska. I told you that game would be close, Ben. And it was. It was.
Chaos, Asher. This
chaos
week.
Happening everywhere. Notre Dame beating Purdue by quite a bit, but absolute chaos. Iowa struggling early. Ohio State struggling early with Tulsa. I also told you that would happen on the Locked On Big Ten podcast earlier this week. It was a wild week.
It wasn't a wild week of winning and losing, but it was a wild week of what the hell is going on from literally noon until the night games. It like my head was spinning. And even though a lot of these teams came away with a victory and it'll look all fine, like I just love it. And also across college football, not only in the Big Ten, but everybody's beatable.
Everybody is beatable. Even UCLA, they're beatable. They got them. I can't believe it. But they are, in fact, beatable. Penn State-Auburn, we got to start with that game because sure. it was prime time, and I watched quite a bit of it, Ben, the final three quarters of it, to be exact, after finishing up some waves water polo down in Malibu, California. Sean Clifford looks like a different level of player. He looks like a different level of player, and Ben, this is where Kenny was right.
Where Kenny was right. I loved him going into the year. I thought 2020 for all of Penn State was just weird. I mean, like, they're a damn good football team, and it keeps sucking because I keep going back to the screen grab of Wisconsin being down six, literally at the 1 yard line with 2 minutes left. So like, if they could just hand the ball off competently, then they probably get away with a win. And the narrative is different, but man, just talking about Penn State, they, as a team, they're just impressive because Clifford has clearly returned to his 2019 form and their offense is dangerous. But something about their defense, like they give up yards and they give up scoring opportunities. But part of it was Wisconsin handing them the game and Auburn made some really boneheaded decisions. But their defense is so opportunistic and like they're just finding ways to win. And it, even though yeah, like they didn't blow Auburn out of their shoes. Like I was thoroughly impressed. Like they still answer every question I have about them. And right now, if we're talking pure power rankings, they are my number one team in the Big Ten. They have risen to the number one spot because I like to be, Asher, and we talked about this with preseason rankings. I like to focus on what actually happens on the field and not what everyone thinks about teams entering the year. And you know, I'm a little lower on Ohio State than others entering the year, but still, Penn State has been the best team in the conference this year.
And you're looking correct about that Ohio State take as well, I will say, because that Ohio State team really struggled with Tulsa. I mean, more than the score will even show. They could not stop the Tulsa Golden Hurricane on their home field.
Pair that and with CJ Stroud looking like a true freshman, which most, or I don't think he's a redshirt freshman, I believe, or a sophomore, but looking like a guy that hadn't taken snaps before this year. Like, that's what normally happens with quarterbacks not named Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence. That's what he looks like. So you pair those two things and like they are extremely beatable. I think they'll figure stuff out as they go along, but it wasn't also a great performance by Ryan Day coaching. Like I am thoroughly unimpressed by Ohio State so far.
I am too. And I'm surprised I'm saying that because I came into the year thinking this would be another Ohio State's going to roll over everybody type of year. I didn't see any serious challenge to them, but all of a sudden, Ben, Penn State looks really good. Michigan, although I'm not sold on them yet, look really good early. I haven't played a ton of people, but look really good early. All of a sudden, that Big Ten East is not as much of a cakewalk as you would have thought coming into the year.
Can we talk about Michigan for a second?
We can talk about Michigan, but I also want to talk about the team in their state that possibly is better than them. But yes, yeah, talk about Michigan.
Well, Michigan first, because what Michigan State has done is unbelievably impressive. But you know how I like SP Plus. I think it's one of the only rankings out there that really reacts to what happens on the field. Asher, they're up at number six in SP Plus, and they haven't played anybody good. They haven't really shown it against the cream of the crop. But what they're doing, and something they haven't done in years, is they're beating the hell out of the teams they're supposed to destroy. And we've seen them struggle with those bad teams recently. Army took them to OT. And Michigan as a whole just like wouldn't look like that next tier team against the bad teams they would play. Now they're doing it 63-10 against Northern Illinois. Their running game looks really good. Cade McNamara, where you were right, looks the part, and their offense actually looks like it can complement the defense, and the defense has been solid. So I'm extremely impressed. What they have to do now with Penn State looking as good as they are and with Ohio State still there and with the team we're about to talk about is they have to get through a pretty much gauntlet of a second half. But I've been really impressed. Michigan and Penn State to me are the teams that have risen the most since week one, since teams actually took the field pretty much across the Big Ten.
I think that Cade hasn't looked actually as good as I thought he would, to be honest, coming into the year, but still been overall impressed with Michigan's running game, the 1-2.
He's looked good enough.
Great. He's looked good enough. Hasn't turned the ball over a ton. So I think that there's things to like there. There's things to like there for sure with McNamara and Michigan, but like you were saying, have they played anybody? Not really, as we get to this tougher part of the year for them. And I think Camp Randall will be a game you learn a lot about them.
It was, Asher, it was 2015 when they last were like really smacking around bad teams. That was that year that they almost beat Ohio State. It was either 2015 or 16. That aside, the year that they were like really good and lost in overtime to JT Barrett and Ohio State because of that questionable spot on the fourth down. Like they're back to the form of beating the crap out of teams they're supposed to beat the crap out of. And that's a sign to me of a good football team. Because when you're struggling consistently beating your mid-majors, that's when you know you're going to go into Ohio State and lose by 50. Before we get back to the weekend in the Big Ten and the current Big Ten power rankings, whose stock is rising, who is falling, today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy. It offers you more college football props than anywhere in the world and offers all of the star players of the Power 5 as well as your mid-majors who, you know, I might be watching on a weekend while Asher is watching his mid-major or international basketball that nobody else watches. Prize Picks, it offers you any prop you could think of from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. Don't take the one on Graham Mertz or pray that it doesn't hit. But everybody who deposits and uses promo code LOCKEDON will receive an 100% instant deposit match up to $100.
You could pick 2 to 5 players, any over under on their projections. Again, that's pretty much any stat they can have. You can win up to 10 times the amount on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. It allows mixed sport entries. You can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Patrick Mahomes. You can use their award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Your entries will take pretty much a minute, 60 seconds or less. It is safe and it offers fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Go check out prizepicks.com or go to the App Store and download the app today. It is daily fantasy made easy. If you're on my pro pick for the weekend or picks, Jack Sanborn, Leo Chanel, Nick Herbig over sacks against Jack Cohn.
The other team in the state of Michigan that is playing some of the best football, not in the conference, but I'd argue in the country right now. They look dominant and they've played solid opponents. Not great, great opponents, but it's been not one, not two, but 3 solid wins for them at the beginning of the year. A win over Miami on the road against an ACC program. Yeah, Miami's down this year. I don't think they in any way, Ben, deserve their, I think it was number 16 overall in the AP poll preseason ranking. They are nowhere near that, but they're still a solid football team. They still have offensive talent, and Michigan State made them look like a defensive line that had no chance. It was Big Ten football at its finest. It was the legend of Kenneth Walker just growing in the state of Michigan. He's for real. This Spartans team is for real.
You know, what's funny is Manny Diaz after the game said that he thought their offensive line actually pushed Michigan State's defensive line around a good amount and their problems fell on the outside. But after they rushed for pretty much 2 yards of carry against the Spartans. Yeah, they've been really impressive. Ben Stevens, he was the first Michigan State is going to win a lot of games guy that I saw. And yeah, he's looked right. Kenneth Walker was really good last year. He just wasn't in maybe the best system for him to thrive. But now, it's early to say Heisman consideration, but he's been that level of good.
I think that the thing about Michigan State that's impressed me most is that Peyton Thorne is taking care of the football at a high level and looks like a top half Big Ten quarterback right now. And I think that was a position where you didn't even know if he was starting coming into the year, let alone would he be serviceable, let alone would he be above serviceable and actually pretty good. And so far, Benny's looked pretty good.
He has. Yeah, he has. And yeah, he's doing everything he needs. Do you want to go quickly a couple one-off takes about other teams that maybe have fallen a lot? One of them being
with the best debate of the show we've had in a while, I'm sure.
Well, I say the quick off takes about teams that now absolutely suck because Northwestern's dead this year. They have put together some unbelievably disappointing performances. The latest, a 30-23 loss to Duke, who is a basketball school. So that's not good. Nebraska, as you said last week, did give Oklahoma a run. I think some more of that is Oklahoma just not being as good as everybody thinks they are. But I was impressed of how Nebraska was fighting, and naturally they found a way to shoot themselves in the foot, getting the extra point blocked and returned it to. But I didn't really take that much away from that game. The other faller that I want to talk about is Indiana, because, man, Michael Penix can make some unbelievable throws, but he literally threw that game away against Cincinnati. I will say this. I thought Indiana would win that game, and they looked like they were going to until their best player, Micah McFadden, was ejected, the linebacker, I think late in the second quarter, and then Cincinnati just had their way with them. But, I mean, Indiana was only going to go as far as Michael Penix could take them, and that doesn't look like it's going to be that far.
No, it doesn't look like it's going to be that far. And, man, Tom Allen was amped in that first half. He was, like, getting hyped on every single stop of the run and every big tackle they had.
They were playing so well.
All of a sudden, it's one kickoff return, honestly. That was what it was. Nearly 100-yard kickoff return to the house after Indiana took the lead back, and they never bounced back from that.
That was a nuts game.
It was a nuts game, and it was a game I really thought watching the whole first half that Indiana was going to win. I don't know about you.
Yeah, they were dominating. And then, yeah, to me, it was when McFadden went out and they just lost a significant identity in the defense. And then Penix, I mean, some of those throws were just, what are you doing, man?
And he's had a lot of those early in this season, a lot of those for sure.
Where Kenny was wrong. I was spot on about Penn State and Sean Clifford. I was wrong about Indiana.
It's funny you say where Kenny was wrong, because we're going to close here with where Kenny is remarkably wrong. I mean, I need a new adjective, to be honest. I need new adjectives to describe how wrong you are about this.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Sweatblock. You've heard us talk about them for weeks, but it's a doctor created, doctor recommended. It works up to 7 days per use. They give you the dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock does not help you keep you dry from sweat, you get your money back. They give you wipes. It's all you need to avoid the sweat. It is featured and tested on The Rachel Ray Show by firefighters, bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years, over 13,000 reviews. Right now, it is number one in the Amazon antiperspirant category, manufactured in the U.S. They sent some to myself. They sent some to Asher. And I can assure you, if you want to avoid the sweat, this is a way to do it. You get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com using promo code LOCKEDON, or you can get it at Amazon and CVS. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar, aka the official protein bar of me continuing to suck at golf. I've actually now quit golf, but I will continue to always eat Built Bars. They have 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor. You have coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There's something for everybody. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box even, where you get 2 of each of the 9. The flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. 9 amazing flavors. They are all tasty. They are all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Ben, why on earth do you like 11 a.m. kickoffs?
Should I start by defending my honor or reading the replies I got today?
You can defend your honor and then read the replies, and then I'll give you some replies of my own.
Okay, so as Fox and their whole college football package has grown and they started game day-ish party, their big game, as you said earlier, has gone to noon Eastern or 11 Central. Instead of in the past, when Wisconsin, I don't know, would be on like the Big Ten's biggest game, it would obviously be at night. I like the early kickoffs more. Number one, Gus Johnson's voice introing that kickoff is coffee for me. Hearing him give the intro to where they are and the matchup and who they have, like that's what wakes me up in the morning. That's what I need. Him and Joel Klatt, I think, are the best broadcast booth in football, college or pro. They're tremendous. And it's when you look throughout your day, it just makes the most sense. You have time to take a nap after the game. You could still go do stuff at night. You don't have to wait around all day to see Wisconsin. I mean, even if it's a big game, I don't like the waiting around all day. I like when I wake up, I wake up early. I can get my stuff done. I watch the game. I thoroughly enjoy it. Also, Fox's intro music is just tremendous. I enjoy the game, get my work done after or do whatever after. And then you still have, it's like 2 days in one. You can then take a nap. You can not take a nap. You could do stuff at night. The night kickoff just totally handcuffs you with what you're doing.
Ben, read your replies and then I'll do my own replies.
All right. So,
or you can read my reply.
Well, no, I'll get to it. First, my colleague and friend Ebo said, excellent take. There is nothing better than waking up.
That's an interesting one to start with. That really represents the breadth of comments you got there. That's a great one to start with.
I said I'd read my replies. He said, there's nothing better than waking up, pouring a Bloody Mary, watching the Badgers destroy someone starting at 11, then having the rest of our afternoon to do whatever heart desires. My friend Grant said, then we can go about our day and drink unimpeded on a Saturday night. Yes, don't let the haters crush this take, Ben. It's a good one. Some other replies I got were stop, listen, old man. Asher, you said my favorite time slot is this ratio. I was told that this tweet is worse than the ones about Philly sports.
Who's that somebody, from?
JJ Post. Oh,
JJ Post, friend of the show.
Someone said, big
you gotta do a whole soccer episode with JJ Post. That's on my bucket list. That's on my postseason bucket list.
Asher, someone said, big noon kickoff is the absolute worst. The best time slot for the best game is not at noon. The best NFL games are not played in the early window. It's like the Packers are playing the Lions tonight. That's not necessarily the best game. I had a said no one ever. think about this ratio. You also said, oh, hell no. Someone asked me if I was on crack. And then just a lot of gifts that were pretty much calling me an idiot. So, I mean, like, I get it. I knew people would disagree, but I'm trying to enlighten the public.
Three massive issues. Here we go with Big Noon Kickoff. Here we go.
Not a coffee drinker.
Number one, I have no day after it. I am cashed by like 4 p.m. and then my day's just shot, but it's like still 4 p.m. and I want to do things. If you are a fan and you come and you drive out, Ben, you tailgate for 3 hours. Not everyone's 20 years old, dude. You know what I mean? Like, not everyone's a 21-year-old kid. Not everyone is.
I'm actually 23, but.
I'm talking about when we were in our prime game day drinking age. Sure, if you're like 19, 20, like, all right, you can rally, go out at night, whatever. If you're in your wonder years, shall we say, your later wonder years, Ben, and you have a game at 11 a.m. and you wake up at 8 a.m., you said you have this half the day left. What are you doing with that rest of the day?
You go out to dinner. You go enjoy yourself. You go do something else. Asher, those people aren't doing that much anyway.
Second, at Camp Randall, the night environment is unbelievable. I know that this is Soldier Field, but at Camp Randall, the night environment is unbelievable. And there's a couple simple reasons why. First of all, the buildup of the day is next level. Because instead of having those, I love the day more than I love the game a lot of the time. I really do. I love the buildup of the day. I love the fact that I can walk around State Street and see everybody wearing red, everybody going crazy, everybody drinking. I love that buildup. I love the energy. That energy is way better when it lasts for 7 hours than when it lasts for 3 hours. I like that elongated buildup because when I get to kickoff, I'm even more gratified. I'm ready to roll. And then third, Ben, I live on the West Coast now. I don't like waking up, getting out of bed, and turning on the
West Coast elite take had to be thrown on. He's a West Coast elite. And he's not in the Midwest with the grit with the other people.
I'll tell you guys why Ben actually likes this kickoff time. It's not because of any of the reasons he said. It's because as a journalist, this is the prime kickoff time. It's just true. You get to write a bunch of stuff after the game. You're not tired. You can work till 7, 8 p.m. And people will actually read your stuff after the game instead of going to bed because all they're doing is going out to dinner or having fun. All they're doing is laying around and waiting for the day to end because they're already so tired from the game.
That's just not true.
It is a much better time for journalists and a much worse time for fans. The excitement, the buildup, I want it to be a long all day event that finally ends with flashlights on our phones at Camp Randall, waving them around, making it look beautiful. Night games are better.
Okay. It is undoubtedly better for people covering the team, but that's not the reason. The reason is, I need something to wake me up in the morning, and Gus Johnson's voice over the drums of Fox, that's what that is.
Why not a slow wake up and then 8 hours of party and then go to a game?
Because I don't want like random people calling the game on TV.
Well, let's just have Gus Johnson call the later games.
No, but that's not possible. I said Fox's Big Noon Kickoff, as opposed to what they did last week, playing on whatever, FS1, Big Ten Network.
All right,
the C team.
We all just have to stop watching Big Noon Kickoff because they're only doing it because of the ratings.
Yeah, I know. And the ratings are great because it's a great window to watch and ingest football.
As always, on Wisconsin, Ben, we will continue this, I'm sure, at some point later in the year. Because guess what? Wisconsin, Michigan, also 11 a.m.
Asher, I was also told to go sit in a corner and think about what I've done.